Welcome to the next episode of Wealth Strategies to Value. I am your host, Troy Shorts. And we are again focusing on financial literacy as the purpose of our podcast. Our mission here is to have our clients have an easier, safer, and a much more enjoyable retirement. Over the last two weeks, I've had probably about 15 or 16 appointments with clients. And there's been a reoccurring theme as I get clarity with my clients on what it is that they want to have in retirement. Quite a few people were mentioning the importance of paying off their bricks and sticks. You got it. Paying off the mortgage, burning the mortgage. And I want to just dispel some myths that we have been we've bought into by the banks and the financial institutions. And I believe that this is a myth that's causing people to lose wealth unknowingly and unnecessarily. When it comes to building wealth, what we have to understand is we could use our money or we could use other people's money to do it. When I use my money to build wealth, those dollars are extremely expensive, right? Because I have to pay tax first and then make the investment, right? But if I can create leverage, utilize other people's money to build wealth, and my wealth continues to compound uninterrupted for the rest of my life. Wow, much better way of building wealth. What we have to understand is in the United States of America, we spend more than we make. In the United States of America, we buy cars we can't afford. In the United States of America, we buy houses that we cannot afford. We take vacations that we cannot afford. We spend money, we go into debt, right? What's the difference between good debt and bad debt? Well, there's a humongous difference. Bad debt is debt that's non-deductible debt, right? Good debt is debt that you can deduct off your income taxes, right? So with the good debt, you're actually getting something back for the debt. And what people have to realize is the difference is huge. We've been told by the people who are holding on to all the money what to do with our money. We've been told that we will save hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest if we prepay our mortgage and burn the mortgage ahead of time. What you have to understand is that banks understand how wealth works. And when I go to a bank and I deposit $1,000, I leave the bank, you come to the bank, and you withdraw $1,000. Let's say you borrow $1,000. The bank charges me or pays me very low interest on my deposit. The bank charges you as much as they can on the withdrawal. There's no risk to the bank because the loan that you get from the bank is my money. It's not the bank's money. It's my money. They're using other people's money and charging interest, right? Very, very famous guy you may have heard of named Robert Kiyosaki. Robert Kiyosaki is a great person to listen to on YouTube because he understands how wealth works. These are the principles and economics that rich people use that poor people don't use. I don't want to say poor people. I hate that word. I want to say less educated people when it comes to finances. And wealthy people use debt every day to increase cash flow. Increase cash flow by using debt. Let me give you a great example. Kiyosaki's a real estate owner. He's taking advantage of the tax code. And let me explain how. If he owns $1 million worth of real estate and his interest rate is 5%, Robert Kiyosaki is not going to take his hard-earned income dollars, pay tax first, and then pay off the $1 million mortgage, right? Because then he's going to lose his tax deduction, right? What Robert Kiyosaki says is, I'm going to refinance this $1 million into another 30-year loan because money's cheap right now. He can get an interest rate of 2%, 2.75%, locked in for the rest of his life. But what does that do to his cash flow? You see, his monthly payment on the $1 million could have been $5,000 a month at 5% interest. Well, when you refinance that 5% interest down to 2.75, guess what? He just picked up $25,000 a year in income and cash flow that now he can do something else with. Utilizing debt to create cash flow, leveraging your assets to create cash flow. This is the exact opposite of what the public is being told to do with their wealth. So we have to really understand, how do you create leverageable assets in your portfolio that you can use for collateral to borrow other people's money, get a tax deduction, and your money continues to compound forever and ever and ever? This is really one of the strategic pillars of how people can build wealth. And once you understand this, it will change your life. You will never look at money the same. People are being told to pay off their mortgages. And what you have to understand is that is very, very expensive. Let me give you an example on a net worth basis. I want you to think about two individuals. Let's say they're twin brothers. They went to the same high school. They went to the same college. They had the same major, make the same amount of money. They live next door to each other. They're neighbors. Well, twin A worked very, very hard to pay off his $1 million mortgage, right? He basically gave the bank more money than he needed to because he was determined to be debt-free. Twin B decided that he was going to refinance the mortgage, stretch it out for 30 years, and take the difference and invest it on his own. Well, after 30 years, what you have to understand is twin A, his net worth is still $1 million. But do you understand what twin B's is? It's still $1 million. But twin B has $1 million of cash that's liquid, that's accessible. And he has a mortgage interest rate that can be deducted every year from the Internal Revenue Service. But the point I'm making is the net worth of A and B is exactly the same. You see, it's not about rate of return. It's about where your money's located. A's money's located in sticks and bricks. B's money is located in an account that's accessible and liquid that he can control. You see, net worth is exactly the same. So when you understand how wealth works, every decision that you make is going to either work towards your financial goal or work against your financial goal. And most of the time when I talk to people, they're doing things that are working against their financial goals unknowingly and unnecessarily. This is how we change people's lives. This is how we help people become better stewards of money. And just understanding the tax code is really the differentiator between how I help people and how I can really put money in their pocket, all right? Let's go back to twin A and B because there's variables here. If A has a house that's paid for, it's worth $1 million, the equity is inside the house in the sticks and bricks. What happens to A, twin A, if the housing market does another 2008 and collapses? He's lost. He's lost all his money. He's not in control. He has no more leverage. Now, B, twin B, what happens to him if the housing market crashes? Well, he's not afraid because he's got assets. He's got cash. It's okay. He didn't lose anything because his money is accessible. It can still grow. All right. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that we have inflation? Do you believe in inflation? Do you know what inflation is? Inflation simply means that the government, the Federal Reserve, is printing money. And the more money that's in the marketplace, the lower the value of the dollar, correct? So if I could go to a bank and I can get a 2.75% interest rate for 30 years guaranteed, money's cheap. It's almost free. They're giving it away. It's 2.75%. Do you know in like 1980s, mortgages were like 16% interest rates? So why would you not take advantage of this low interest rate environment? It just makes economic sense. You see, if my mortgage payment is $5,000 a month, today that $5,000 is expensive. But in 30 years from now, if inflation does its job and the value of the payment 30 years from now is going to feel like $2,000. So I can use deflated dollars to pay my mortgage down the road and get a tax benefit and have access to cash. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense as a consumer? But if you're listening to the banks, they're going to tell you to do just the opposite. But banks do just the opposite. But they have us do the wrong thing. And we've bought in. You see, gone are the days when a bank can come to your house and say, we're going to call the mortgage and you owe the balance of that mortgage today. Most people don't know that that is illegal. There's legislation that that doesn't happen anymore. But if you listen to your father, your grandfather, and they say, well, you know, when I was a kid, you know, my grandfather lost his house in the Depression. They called the loan, right? We lost it. We had nowhere to live. And we don't want that to happen to you. So we do things based on old ways and old traditional thinking that doesn't even apply anymore today. And it costs you wealth. How can you have a more enjoyable, safer retirement if you've given all your money to the bank, right? Who's winning that game? Not you, the bank. All right. Another fallacy that I want to talk about is home equity. People have to realize that that home equity doesn't belong to you. You can prepay, get that loan down, and you think in your head, well, okay, well, that equity, I'm doing this because of the equity. But what you're losing is opportunity cost, right? People say, well, yeah, I'm going to save thousands of dollars in interest. But you're losing thousands and thousands of dollars of opportunity because you're giving your money to the bank. Now, I'm not saying not to prepay your mortgage, okay? But what I'm saying is don't prepay it to the bank. Why can't you control the money? Why can't you put the money in an account that's liquid, that's going to give you a good, solid interest rate, right? That's accessible, right? So if the time comes in 15 years and you say, hey, I want to stroke the check to pay off my loan, you're in control. You can do it. You're in control, not the bank's in control. All right. So we have to understand that there's better ways of skinning the cat. All right. Oh, I'm getting back to home equity and why it doesn't belong to you. If you go to the bank and you get a loan, a line of credit against your home, and you say, I need a $100,000 loan, Mr. Banker, against my home. Well, you do not take the doors and the windows and the garage down to the bank and then they give you cash for it, right? No, the windows, the doors, and the garage stays with the house and continues to compound, right? And when you get the money from the bank, it's not your money. You owe it back. And I can prove it to you. Let's say you go to the banker, you sign the papers, they write you the check, and you walk out the door. And before you leave the bank, you turn around to the banker and you say, thanks a lot. This is my money, right? And he says, no, we want that money back with interest. So you got to pay that money back, right? With interest. You got to have a 750 credit score to get it, right? They got to do a debt to income ratio calculation for you to get it, right? Now you got monthly payments, right? To get it. All right. You don't make the payment. Guess what? They take your house as collateral for the loan. So the only way you really, really get that equity is when you sell the property. That's when you really get the equity. All right. So you have to understand that that equity in your house does not really truly belong to you. And we've been told by bankers that indeed, that is our money. And from what I understand right now, you can only access 85% of the equity of the house anyway. So you can't even get 100%. Well, what if you took the difference and you could put it in a better account, a safer account, and earn more? Control the wealth. I mean, doesn't that just make sense? Right. And what I really want to explain to people is the right solution for us is really just to take advantage of the low interest rate environment, go as long as you possibly can on the mortgage loan, right? And take a deductible low interest rate that they can never change for 30 years. You see, you can take the difference and control it, right? And people who tell me, well, you know, I don't want to have this big loan, right? Well, listen, just buy a life insurance policy to cover the loan. That gives you permission to take a 30-year mortgage. If you die the next day, the worst thing that could happen is you die. Well, if I die, guess what? The life insurance policy is going to pay the bank back. I'm not going to stick my wife or my kids or my family with this humongous million-dollar loan. You see, that's called macroeconomics, right? 2 + 2 = 4, right? It's macro. It's big picture thinking. So these are some of the strategies that, you know, I've just been reviewing with my clients. And when I come across several people who have the same thinking, you see, that gives me content for my show. It allows me to say, hey, if these 5 or 6 people are thinking this way, guess what? We need to address this. This needs to be something that we can put out to the people and really educate them about how wealth really works. So if this is something that is concerning you, if this is where you are you willing to have a conversation with me about it? Because I guarantee you, I'm going to be able to show you how to put some money in your pocket and get some additional tax benefits, because it's all about cash flow. Cash flow is king. When people pay their mortgages off and then retire, what happens is they're debt free. Yeah. But they're broke because they've given all the money to the bank. Let's stop doing that. Let's control the wealth. Let's use leverage. Let's use liquidity. Let's be in control. The LLC we talk about, right? Leverage, liquidity, and control. These are strategies that belong to you. These are strategies that you deserve to obtain. These are strategies that the IRS gives us privileges of attaining, but we're forfeiting because of lack of knowledge, because we're doing old, outdated stuff. All right. Anybody ever heard my Thanksgiving turkey story? Well, if you haven't, I'm going to tell it to you now. All right. Here's the story. I'm sure I've shared this before. Here's the story. Thanksgiving dinner. Mom's putting the ham in the oven. Right. Daughter looks at mom and says, "Mommy, why did you cut the back of the ham off before you put it in the oven?" And mama says, "Well, that's easy, baby, because that's how my mother did it." And she said, "Well, when your grandmom comes later this afternoon, you can ask her why." Grandmom comes. Grandmom, question, why you cut the back of the ham off before you put it in the oven? She said, "Well, that's because that's the way my mama did it." Well, here comes great grandmom to the party. She's late. Baby comes up. "Hey, great grandmom, why did you cut the back of the ham off before you put it in the oven?" And she said, "Baby, that's really easy. You see, back then, baby, our ovens were real, real small. We couldn't even fit the ham in the oven. So I had to cut the back of the ham off to put it in the oven." We're still cutting the back of the ham off. Our ovens are huge. It makes no economic sense. No more paying off sticks and bricks. Thanks for listening, guys. Tune in next time for our next episode of Wealth Strategies to Value. I'm again your host, Troy Shorts. Look forward to talking to you soon.